The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Ladies, take your Bible, if you will, and let's go back to the book of Romans chapter, if you will, please. The chapter we mentioned a moment ago, 14, and let's look at it together. Please don't forget that next Sunday is our Give It All Sunday. I want to encourage you. I know there's some that could write a check for $100,000. There's some that could write a check for $75,000. Some in this room could write a check for $50,000 or $35,000, $25,000, $15,000, $10,000, $5,000, or $2,500, or $1,000, whatever the case may be, or lower. But next Sunday is Give It All Sunday. And so we want you to come back. We want you to be ready to give. We're going to try and bite off remodeling the auditorium. God has been so good to us and so kind to us from putting a brand new roof on the place and all of the properties here, to remodeling the hallways, to the lobby, to that which is the bathrooms. And so now it's time to be able to bite off the remodel of the auditorium. It's going to increase our seating capacity. It's going to give us better lighting, better sound. Everything will be completely redone. And so you pray earnestly about what God would have you to do. I know many people are thinking and praying earnestly about, as we think about the words, give it all. They're thinking about giving an entire paycheck. Some are thinking and praying about giving 2 weeks' salary. And so you pray and make a sacrifice to be able to enhance that which is the house of God. And it will reap, I believe, dividends in years to come as we reach out. And of course, we have better lighting and better everything that's in here for the cause of Christ. And so you be praying very much about that. Now, with that in mind, and not only that in mind this morning, however, I want to talk to you about just jumping in and making a difference. Now, by the way, whatever it is that you do, whether it is being a dad, whether it is being a mom, whether it is being a young person, and you're now in Bible college here, or whether it might be that you are desirous and you're thinking and praying about jumping in the bus ministry as we're getting more routes started, and desirous to be able to reach out even farther to bring boys and girls and teenagers and men and women to the cause of Christ and for the gospel's sake. And so it might be that you're there. You're there. Now, a message like this would probably be like a Sunday night message, but I think it's important that we understand that all of us, even on a Sunday morning, can have a responsibility fulfilled by simply jumping in and serving God. The Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 14 in verse 7, where he says, "For none of us liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself." So for the child of God, we understand the very next verse in verse 8, where it says that whether we live unto the Lord or whether we die unto the Lord. And he says, he talks about living and dying, and then he makes just the last portion of that verse, you'll see this: we are the Lord's. Now there's a great responsibility in being the Lord's. You know, I as I was growing up and in my parents' home, my dad would say this: if all of a sudden one of us, I had three brothers, four boys that grew up with mom and daddy, and daddy would often say this. He would say, you know, there's some things that others may do, but there's some things that we will not do because we hold the last name of Wells. You know, and what he was saying was, well, you're not going to do that. You know, there's some things that others can do that we ought not to do because we hold the name of Christian. But there's some things that we ought to do that others cannot do because we hold the name Christian. You know, being a Christian has an enormous responsibility. You think about just different ones that's in the Bible, and I remember when I first got saved, I jumped in. It wasn't something that I said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. Okay, I got saved, and so I'm only going to go to church on Sunday morning. I got saved, and so I tell you what, I'm just going to go to church maybe Sunday morning and Sunday night. Well, I just got saved, but I'm not going to let God have any part of my finances. Well, when I got saved, here's what I did. I jumped in all the way. I jumped in for Sunday morning. I jumped in for Sunday night. I jumped in for Wednesday night. I jumped in to be able to go out soul winning. I jumped in with my finances. I jumped in with my excitability. I jumped in with my energy. And I just believe that there's some times in your life where you need to stop deliberating about it, and you need to stop thinking about it, and you need to stop praying about it over and over again, but you just need to decide that you're going to jump in. You know, the Bible talks about the Apostle Paul who made a difference. Now, I'm talking about to jump in and make a difference, and he certainly did. The Apostle Paul jumped in, and he was known as a missionary. He was known as an evangelist. He was known as a pastor. He was known as a church planner. He was known as a writer that penned 14, if you include the book of Hebrews. You think about the Apostle Paul, and I'll tell you one thing about the Apostle Paul. We do understand he jumped in. You think about Peter. Peter made a difference because he jumped in. The Bible talks about in Acts chapter 5 and verse 15, the Bible says, insomuch that brought, it says, forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow them. And what they were doing is they were saying, this man has done so much that maybe there's just a glimmer of hope that we could take the sick, we could take the diseased, we could put them on their couches and on their beds, and we can lay them by the roadside in hopes that as Peter passes by, that only his shadow would come across them and they may be healed. Now, how in the world did he get such a legacy, if you will, please, such an influence that people might even begin to conjure that up in their minds? I'll tell you, because when Peter got saved, Peter just jumped in. You think about Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. I believe we could say she made a difference. I believe that you could talk about Susanna Wesley and had 18 or 19 children, and she said that she spent 30 minutes a day with each individual child. Yeah, that's about 9 hours a day or so. Now, may I say, listen, what did she do? She jumped in. You think about my grandmother received Christ in 1919 when she walked down a sawdust trail in Baltimore City, Maryland, and shook the hand of a man by the name of Billy Sunday. And if he hadn't been out there running the circuit as he was and holding these great campaigns, my grandmother might not have been saved. But there was a day when he left his profession and he jumped in. May I say that you can make a difference in somebody's life if you just decide to be different yourself. You can decide to jump in and accomplish something for God. You can decide. I'm not talking about jumping in and accomplishing something for the business world, though I think for those that are businessmen, that is utterly important. But I'm saying don't leave out your Christianity, and don't leave out being that right type of Christian, and don't leave out being faithful to the Lord your God, and don't leave out coming to church faithful, and don't leave out putting God first in your family life. I'm saying that what we need this morning is we need some people that just decide you're going to get excited about God enough just to jump in. Let me give you some things, if I may. Here's what we see. Let me give you a couple of statements. You can make a difference, and by the way, making a difference requires a great sacrifice. Whenever you decide that you're going to make a difference, it's going to be a sacrifice. You read in the book of Acts chapter 4, you'll see that the apostles were threatened in verse 21. The Bible says they were threatened and they were let go. And then the Bible says that they were threatened that they were going to be punished, and they were threatened that they were going to be, if you would please, thrown into prison, whatnot. And they were beaten, by the way, according to verse 40 in Acts chapter 5. They were beaten and they were commanded that they should not preach or speak in the name of the Lord, and they were let go. But the Bible says as they departed from that council in Acts chapter 5 and verse 41, as they departed from the council and they had been beaten and they're leaving now. But here's what they did. The Bible says that they rejoiced, that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Oh, you think, well, you know, that must have stopped them because after all, they were persecuted. They must have stopped. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says in Acts chapter 5 and verse 42, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. So wait a minute. They knew that they were going to face some opposition. They knew that trouble was going to come. They knew that it might be a difficult road to hoe, but they decided that here's what they're going to do. They're going to sacrifice to go forward to serve Jesus Christ. And any time that you are going to serve Jesus Christ, it's going to take some sacrifice in your life. Sacrifice involves time. It involves being somebody that eliminates your desires of self. Sacrifice involves dying to self. Sacrifice may involve your monies. Sacrifice may involve you forfeiting your future dreams and your future desires. But whenever we decide to step out and serve Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, it's going to take a sacrifice. Statement number two, making a difference will require a great effort in unity in prayer. You think about the Bible times. You think about that there was those that gathered together. Listen to it. Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. The Bible says, and when they had prayed, says the place were shaken as they assembled themselves together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now, wait a minute. So when people came together and they prayed. May I encourage your heart? God is still the God that hears and answers prayer. If you have marriage problems this morning, you're not by yourself. God can hear and answer prayer. If you have child distress in that which is rearing your child this morning, I've got news for you. God's not going to turn a deaf ear to you. God will hear your prayer. God can answer your prayer. God can change that young one. It doesn't matter what you're facing this morning, whether it is a financial reversal, whether it is ill health, you serve a living God. He's in the world today. And I'm telling you, He's not going to go away. He is there for you. He can help you. And when you come together, I hope that one day, and I think we're getting there, we've got, I wish I could get you to do this just one time. If you've not done it yet, come one time. I wish you could come to a Sunday evening service just one time. This morning we have about 90, 97 workers out of here working in other ministries over in the other building. Now wait a minute. When you come back on a Sunday night, can I tell you something? It's almost like family coming together. Part of her family's out of this room right now. But wouldn't it be great if we could get all of her family together? Wouldn't it be great that maybe on a Sunday night, you come back and the family from the other buildings, they come back and we can sit around and we can hear the word of God and God can change our life and God could work in our life. And hey, wait a minute. Here's what I'm saying this morning. I'm saying this, that when we serve God, there's a great sacrifice, but not just a great sacrifice. It takes unity. There's something. We went on that couples retreat. 25 of our couples and the Gomez's, of course, was with us from Corpus Christi. And so 26 couples. And we went out there. And can I tell you, we had a ball. I mean, from the, and I'm talking about, they got so many donations. We gave away so many hotel rooms, close to $1,000 worth of hotel rooms given away. I think Brother Hooker got all of them. But it was so good. I mean, there was teaching, there was sessions that was broken up, and we went putt-putt golfing together, and we had a great time putt-putt golfing, and some of us got in the go-karts and went around, and I got in one of those go-karts that didn't run. I looked at my wife, and I mean, here we are. Brother Wislowski is passing us up fourth time around, and he's got that Yankee holler. Woo! You know, as he passes by, and his wife just gets that Wislowski grin as she passes by and smiles. We you know, and here my little thing was going putt, 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 putt. I looked at my wife and I said, do we weigh that much? You know, and I mean, we're being lapped, and finally, there's some little kids. You saw those little kids on the sideway over here, and they're cheering, you can do it, you can. They didn't even know us. All right, now I'm saying this. I'm saying that unity does something. When people come together with a common cause, they come together with a common goal, they come together saying, I am going to be able to help you and you be able to help me, and let's go forward to accomplish the greater whole. You'll be amazed that more people can accomplish a greater amount than fewer people. We have soul winning days on Saturday, and boy, that soul winning room fills up. People in the hallway, hey, it's great. What is that? Unity. Unity. When the choirs had their choir practice and people show up for the practice, what is that? Unity. Unity. We have special speakers that come on property here that go back and they preach, and we have area preachers that come often. Dr. Spell doing a wonderful job with her Bible college. And we have area speakers, pastors from the Dallas Metro that will come in and they'll speak in our chapel services. And I love it. The kids start doing the countdown. I mean, the college kids, 10, and you can hear them shouting in the hallway, 10, 9, 8. It's like you're going to take off somewhere. And boy, the adrenaline is building. We walk out on that platform and all those young adults are standing up and they're shouting, and then we introduce that special speaker and they're shouting. I can't begin to tell you how many pastors that come on the property here, they go back to the college area and they preach in that A-frame building. They walk out and they tell me, boy, I've never been so loved. I've never been so encouraged. This has helped me so much. It has juiced me to the point that I'm ready to go back, and I am so excited, and thank you so much for enthusiasm that you've got in that service, and it helps them. They need that. Can I tell you why? Nobody's in it alone. No, there's no small churches in America. There's no insignificant pastors in America. Those men of God, just like I, all of those that are out there serving God, oh, they need the encouragement. They need the pats on the back. They need the hooray, hooray, hooray. Hey, and what does that do? That strengthens them just to take another step. That's the way it ought to be at our church. That's the way it ought to be at our college. That's the way it ought to be. Why? Because I'm telling you, there is unity. But the Bible talks about a unity in prayer. There's something about when your child starts to go wrong that you can get with somebody and say, I need you to pray with me. There's something about it. You remember the story when I was in Bible college, and I had a young man in Bible college that I didn't like too well. And his name was Gary. And Gary and I, we had differences. Now, wait a minute. I want to show you something. That man came into my room every single night. Now, I didn't know him that well to begin with, but he came in my room every single night on Friday. I didn't ask him to, but he did. He came in, Dr. Smell, every single night on Friday. I pray for mom and dad to get saved. And he came in. He put his arm around me, Brother Costa. He kneeled down. He'd pray. He'd weep. He never met my mom and daddy. Didn't know him one time. You know, and then he found out that I'd go up to the weight room when the weight room was open, and Brother Appleby, which was the dean of men, said I could use the weight room from 10 o'clock at night till 12 midnight just to pray for my parents, and Gary would show up. We'd pray together. Now, wait a minute. He'd weep and he'd cry. Never met my parents. But yet he was best man in my wedding. You know why? Because there was a unity in prayer. There's a unity in prayer. Well, you know, preacher, I disagree with so-and-so, and I disagree with so. Hey, lay your disagreement aside. We have a nation that's going down the tubes. We've got a nation that's winding up in ruin. We've got a nation that is being destroyed. Stop chasing the penny ante things. Get alone with God. Get somebody else with you and pray that God will do something. There is a unity in prayer. You know, if our nation would ever, ever surrender to the call to prayer, our nation could be rescued in great fashion. And can I tell you, there is nothing that's going to rescue our nation like God. You think of all the World War I stories and all the World War II stories where they said they didn't know how this happened, but all of a sudden, miraculously, this did happen. All of a sudden, God changed the weather miraculously. All of a sudden, there was a cold front that started to come in, hitting that warm. All of a sudden, the fog started to rise. All of a sudden, now it was foggy over here, but not foggy. Hey, what is that? That's the hand of an almighty God. I think God looked down on a nation that was called America and said, these people, they have me first. They put me first. They decide that I'm going to be first in their nation and in their land. They talk about me in the schools and they give allegiance to me in their pledging to the American flag and in their patriotism with their patriotic music. They're always mentioning my name and they're not taking me out, but they're putting me first. And God said, I believe it with all my heart. I like that, and I'm going to bless that nation. But our nation's not that way today. It's not that way today. They've taken that Bible out of that public school. They've taken that prayer out of that public school. They're taking God's name out in more ways than you can shake a stick at. They're preventing Christmas trees to go up because there's a separation of church and state that has not one time mentioned. Not one time. But they've decided to do a play on words. Bring it in. It's not one time mentioned. But they're using that to say there's a separation. Now, may I say that you and I as God's children, why do we not even pray about that? Why are we not disturbed at all? I'm saying there's got to be a time in our life, in our America's going to hell in a handbasket, and somebody's got to rise up, and somebody's got to take it serious, and somebody's got to pray, but you can't pray just by yourself. You ought to decide that you're going to unite, and you're going to pray until God comes through. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying make a difference. When you make a difference, it requires sacrifice. When you make a difference, it requires a unity of prayer. Are you ready? When you make a difference, it requires a unity of spirit. You ever go to a ball game and people get excited about it? Brother McCarty, you will always be remembered in the back of my head. Because when we first started the volleyball teams that we have here for our young ladies, and Brother McCarty's girls was playing at that time, he would dress up the same color as the team. I did not come to watch the girls all the time because he had my attention and I would watch him. But he would get into it. He'd bounce up and down. And back then he weighed 10 times more than what he weighs today. So he'd bounce up and down. He stopped bouncing and he would still bounce. But that was getting into it. Man, I preached meetings, and I'm telling you, all of a sudden the house comes alive. And I'll be running back and forth, and I'll be standing on pews, and I'll be foaming at the mouth. And all of a sudden the house comes alive, and boy, people start shouting amen. People start getting into the message. Are you listening to me? You're saying, preacher, that's wildfire. No, I think it's somebody just trying to get a little bit excited about God. And by the way, I'd rather be somebody a little bit excited about God than not. Come on. We can sleep in our own beds. Let it not be church. Man, you come to church, somebody ought to say something to make you at least, ooh. And by the way, isn't it good when the preacher says something that makes you, ooh? Somebody walks outside the church and says, I can't believe he said that. Well, at least I gave you something to talk about. Well, I can't believe he stepped on my toes. Well, you hadn't had him in the wrong place. I wouldn't have hit him. Yeah, I'm saying this. There has to be a unity of a spirit. Here's what we have. We don't have a unified spirit. I'm not saying necessarily in our church. I'm saying in our nation. There's not a unified spirit. I was preaching in Mississippi. We were staying at our family was staying at one of the church members' houses that afternoon, and 9/11 hit. She turned on her television, and we all sat around, and were in shock. You remember what happened after that, don't you? Flags went up everywhere. Woo! I thought, man, revival's hitting! I mean, you had bars that had flags in front of them. I thought, man, look, hey, old time patronism, it's coming back. Church houses were filled. And all of a sudden, it dies off, doesn't it? Almost like church camp. Almost like when we have the youth revival. Our kids line up normally on this side over here, and they'll line up on this side. We'll have many times the boys that would go first, and they'll come up on this platform right here. You know, now that Dr. Nash is our youth director, you know, he'd hand them the mic, and they give testimony. Oh, this is what God did in my heart. Hello. Last about 2 weeks, maybe three. They got a good dose of it, maybe four. That's about it. Come on, you're that way too as an adult. All of a sudden, preacher gets up here and says, hey, the Bible is true. You need to obey the Bible. He's shaking that pulpit back and forth, hitting that Bible, spitting over the first five rows, working up a sweat, running back and forth, standing on the pew. You leave here saying, I got it. I'm going to serve God. Last about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe four. You know what would change that? I'm going to tell you what would change that. If we decided we were going to, as far as making a difference, have a great sacrifice, be that one that puts an extra effort in unity of prayer, then unity of spirit. Notice this, if you will. Acts chapter 4, verse 32, the Bible says, and the multitude of them believed, and they were all, were of one heart and one soul. It says, neither said any of them, it says that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they all had, it talks about these things common. So they had all these things common. Now, why? There was just it wasn't about a me, it was about a purpose. It was about a cause. You remember when patriotism was great in America? Yes, our young boys would march off to war. But nobody was against it. We had a cause. Do you remember the day when all of a sudden you got saved and you went home and said, Mama, guess what we're going to do? We're all going to church. You piled in your wife and all the kids on top of her. You went to church. There was a cause. There has to be that unity of spirit. And by the way, if you're the leader in your house and you don't have that good spirit, the rest is going to follow you. You have to protect your spirit. Hello? Well, you know, you can come to church and say, well, I'll tell you what, Brother Nash's tie, it was crooked. Brother Jonathan, I'll tell you what, his right shoe is not as polished as his left shoe. Though Brother Palmore did a wonderful job in singing just a few minutes ago, I heard he was off just a tidbit. Yes, Brother Wislowski got up there and he waxed eloquent in telling about that which was Veterans Day. But he left off one significant fact. Wow, Brother Smell, he sits there looking so intelligent. But he doesn't realize that his right shoe is untied. Are you going to look? No. Here's what we understand. We understand there has to be that unity of the Spirit. Let me give you one last thing. And making a difference, it requires a great effort in spreading the gospel. It does. Look, I don't know how big Parkside Baptist Church will ever become. And to be honest with you, I'm not really interested in that. You know what I am interested in? Loving people. You know what I am interested in? Giving out the gospel. You know what I am interested in? maybe reaching to one neighborhood we hadn't reached into yet. That's what I'm interested in. You know, I'm interested in helping somebody that struggled. I am interested in getting out that gospel. And here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 33, the Bible says, and with great power gave the apostles witness, it says, of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and great grace upon them all. Now, what is grace? Grace is giving that which we do not deserve. It's unmerited favor. What is mercy? Mercy is withholding that which we rightfully do deserve. I rightfully deserve hell. So do you. I don't rightfully deserve God's unmerited favor in my life, which is heaven. It's called grace. But because of the grace of God, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Wait a minute. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Now, what did he save us from? Hell. So you have that which is the unmerited favor of God, the grace of God. You have that which is the withheld judgment of God, which is hellfire, later the lake of fire. Now, may I say this? May I say that God has been good to us. Let me give you a closing story. J. Harold Smith in the 1950s preached in Fort Smith, Arkansas. He announced the title of his message. The title of his message was The Seven Quack Doctors of Fort Smith. He advertised it, had it on the radio, The Seven Quack Doctors of Fort Smith. I mean, the whole town came out. They wanted to hear, is my doctor a quack? The doctors came out and were enraged. He had more medical doctors in that service than in any other service in the history, attending any other service in the history of one service at any place. But they came out to see if he was going to name their name. And no doubt, probably some of them were fearful. So he got up and preached, and he started to name the quack doctors. Quack number one, baptism regeneration. Quack number two. And he went down, you know, living by good works, hoping to make it to heaven. He's talking about the seven quack doctrines that people believe in order to be able to go to heaven. May I say that the gospel is so important to get out with all clarity. With all clarity. When we get out the gospel with all clarity, what about your neighbor? They could respond to that. What about your friend? They could respond to that. They could. My wife and I are so very different. My wife is an introvertish type of person. She loves people. She has great personality, but she's introvertish. In other words, you know, she's very quiet, very meek. Now, I'm a little bit different than that. I don't meet a stranger. I mean, nobody's a stranger to me. I mean, I'll walk up to somebody. Hey, how you doing? It's great to see you. Man, it's good to see you. How you been? Good. Now, that's me. I'll be walking out of the restaurants. I'll be handing out tracts to every table. Hey, I'm Pastor Wells. Come see me sometime. I'm over at Parkside Baptist Church. Man, you need to come. Man, you look like you need church. You need to come. Okay? And I don't meet a stranger. I don't. I enjoy life. Now, my wife does too. She enjoys life because she has me. Oh, okay. I'm just kidding. Okay. All right, sorta. You're fired. Now wait. But did you know you can be that one that allows God to work in your life? And it doesn't matter if you're kind of introvertish. She loves those, I don't know if you still use them or not, those tracks that have the smile on them. It says, here's a smile for you. You ever seen those? Here's a smile for you. It has a smile on it. We have tracks that have a smile on it too, and it's one of these tracks that my son, Brother Jonathan, over the media department put together. It says this. It says, you've never been so loved, has a child's face on it, has kisses all over it. Dr. Boakley said, that was me when I was a baby. So what we did, we had a special track made, made up for Dr. Bulkley. We put his head on the baby's body and put kisses all over it. So he has his own specialty track. He just has one. But I'm saying this, spread that gospel. Spread that gospel. You know, there's something about just jumping in. Well, you know, preacher, I can't make it to the soul winning time. You pass out tracks. I work, pastor, I can't make it. But you can pass out tracks. But pastor, you know, sometimes you can always carry these. This is your ammo. So what's going to change a nation, preacher? The gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what's going to change a nation. Now I'll pull up beside a car and I'll put my window down. I'll say, put your window down. Go down your window. They'll put their window down and say, hey, I'm Pastor Wells. Like to invite you to church. Hello. Just getting out the gospel. I love it. You wait till the elevator door's shut in the hospital. It can't go nowhere. Wait till the plane takes off. There's not an available seat left in the plane. And they're stuck beside me. I scared one dear lady to death. I did not mean to. I never use this anymore. I never do. I used to use it. I don't use it anymore. Person sit down beside me, and I would say, you know why they tell you to buckle up? Don't you? You know, don't you? It's recorded. There's more plane wrecks on takeoff than any other time. Recorded. By the way, if you died today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? I've had people press that little light up there and said, can I be moved? One man said, can I be moved? I said, I'm coming with you. Giving out the gospel. You know, God can use you to do that. You know, some of you say, well, I don't know how to do it. Get your friend in church. Get them sitting beside you. Let us give them the gospel. All of a sudden, they get saved on the way home. They're going to say, hey, thank you for inviting me to that church. Yeah, that's right. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, please.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.